I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to the sixth episode of FFS, another Brexit podcast. I'm Abby Tomlinson.
And I'm Amanda Chitwind-Cavison.
And we're here to give you all the latest Brexit cock-ups and bust-ups and basically try to bring a bit of hope and youthful optimism to what seems like a never-ending nightmare.
Indeed, what a start, Abby.
But indeed, you know, fair enough.
So this week we've actually got something slightly different in terms of who's joining us as a guest, in the form of YouTuber and social media influencer Lucy Moon.
Yes, it will be nice to talk to someone who isn't a politician about Brexit. Lucy has a massive audience on Insta and Twitter, and proves we mean it when we say this podcast is different.
Exactly. Lucy Moon to Ian Dale. We've kind of got a bit of everyone so far. So now we move on to the section of the podcast where we talk about what's caught our eyes this week.
First of all, we had our rally in Uxbridge on Sunday. We were in Boris Johnson's own backyard. Not that he would recognise it.
Yeah, exactly. And FFS had some great speakers, including the amazing FFS supporter and Vice President of the National Union of Students, Erica Ramos, as well as Brunel University Students Union President, Ranjit Rathore. And they were very lucky. They were joined by the Shadow Foreign Secretary, Emily Thornberry.
What a woman. There were big crowds and lots of anger in the room at Boris Johnson's willingness to impose a destructive no deal on an unwilling country.
Indeed. And Erica and Ranjit both got huge rounds of applause for their speeches. And it was just quite the sight to see, to have young people really leading the calls and the charge from Uxbridge before we go into the Boris Johnson dynasty.
It was indeed. And there has been movement this week as Labour finally came out unequivocally for a people's vote in which they would campaign to stay in the European Union.
Yeah, I mean, they took their sweet time, but they got there eventually. And we're not unhappy, are we, Abby?
No, we're not, absolutely. And if we consider where we were this time last year, especially, and all the efforts of young people and young FFS activists since then, it's actually quite remarkable where we've ended up now.
No, definitely. And I think it is important to say that what Labour need to do now is put their words into actions. I kind of said last week that an email and a press release isn't a campaign, and they need to really remember that and really lead the campaign to securing a people's vote. And we know that they can't afford to keep dragging their feet or be lukewarm about it anymore. We hear that from young Labour campaigners or ex-young Labour campaigners the whole time. So excellent movement, but time to crack on, in my opinion. So it's also exciting times with Team FFS. In the last week, we've sent out dozens, and it feels like hundreds, of mobilisation packs to youth and student leaders and young people all across the UK.
Yes, the days of sitting in a meeting room surrounded by boxes are over. Yeah. And big shout out to our mobilisation team, Izzy and Rosie, for all their work on it.
Absolutely. And it's definitely a good moment to say, if any young activists or kind of elected youth or student representatives are listening, want a mobilisation pack, please do drop us a line or get in touch on social media. You get everything from badges and a t-shirt all the way across to leaflets with tips and tricks about how to get involved in the People's Vote campaign. So on to equally depressing news. It's a week to go before Prime Minister is announced.
So this may be our last podcast where the UK doesn't have Boris Johnson as Prime Minister.
I think we speak for a significant proportion of the population when we say that's really quite sad times. But in more cheery news, we're hosting a rally in Parliament on the 22nd of July.
We are indeed. It's called the Rally for the Future, and that's exactly what it's going to be. MPs and activists speaking and young people coming together to fight, well, for our future's sake.
So we've got some really exciting speakers lined up already, always with more to be announced, but already we've got the excellent Wes Streeting and Catherine West MP from the Labour Party, as well as Chair of Labour Students, Rania Ramley.
The link to tickets, which are free, can be found on all our social media platforms, and it will be happening at 6:30 p.m. in Committee Room 6 in the Houses of Parliament.
You know you want to come. Come and join us in Parliament. It's going to be an excellent evening.
It really is. And we've also recently launched a crowdfunder, which is now almost 25% funded. A huge thank you to everyone who has donated so far, but we're not quite there yet. We want to be active at 100 university and college campuses across the country to engage and involve young people who will be most impacted by the destructive Brexit we're fast approaching.
But we still need more help. We always need more help. So please do like, share, and of course, if you're able to, donate to the crowdfunder. If you, like us, don't want the current trajectory of Brexit to define your future.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
So today, we're very excited to have YouTuber Lucy Moon on our podcast. She has over 300,000 subscribers on YouTube, 100,000 followers, over 100,000 followers, sorry, on Instagram, and 80,000 followers on Twitter, which is definitely more than some of our previous guests.
I don't think Ian Dale is really into Instagram.
And he did tell me he listens to this, so shout out to you, Ian. We'll help you with your Instagram following. No, so Lucy, we always start by asking our guests to give someone an FFS award for something they've done that's ridiculous, out of the ordinary, or that's just really caught your attention over the last week. So who would you give it to?
So I've been thinking about this for a solid 2 days now.
Wow.
And I have come up with no one, because I feel like the whole world is consumed by Boris at the moment, and all the news is Boris, and everything I'm listening to podcast-wise is Boris, Boris, Boris. Yeah. So I don't even know where we're at with Brexit right now. It feels like it's completely on pause until he is elected. So it's just, I don't want to give him an award.
Yeah,
so,
I was about to say, Boris doesn't deserve an award.
I feel like maybe the award goes to the fact that he's not Prime Minister yet.
Yeah, I back that.
The empty space.
It's a short time, so yeah. I really back that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yes, that was a good answer. So obviously your platforms are not traditionally political ones, and like that isn't the subject not you're necessarily known for, but has Brexit made you want to get more involved and talk more about politics, or do you think it's actually had sort of the opposite effect and put you off?
It's definitely had the opposite effect. When I was in uni, I was working at a nonprofit called Bite the Ballot, and I think their work is really amazing, what they do. And the founder, Mike, really made it his mission to encourage young people to vote. And I was working there during the 2015 election, and I was really, really politically involved, especially around young people and what we can do to influence politics. However, I think kind of as the Brexit, I think it came as like when Trump got elected and Brexit happened, that all was 2016. And yeah, I just realized I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't know enough. I couldn't keep up. I also kind of lost interest and became incredibly apathetic just because it's not inspiring for things to go wrong a lot. And for things to get worse, I always think of us as like, we're like the children of the recession and like how we've got a housing crisis and everything else kind of off the back of that. And it just potentially is getting worse. Also, my mum's really up to date on it and she doesn't exactly fill me with hope. So I don't know. I got really distant from it and I've been asked to do a podcast before on Brexit stuff and I've just shied away or anything political now because I just don't want to be a part of it in a way. But I think I'm coming back to it, you know? Yeah. I think I'm getting...
You're making a comeback.
I'm getting there, you know? I want to be up to date, especially as things get worse and worse.
Yeah. No. Oh, God. No, fair. That's quite interesting, though. But do you think there's sometimes like quite a lot of pressure on people with like quite a large social media following, almost like to keep your followers up to date on like either your opinion or even just like what's going on? Like, have you felt that pressure or ever seen that like aimed at yourself in particular?
Definitely. I've definitely seen that pressure. And I really noticed that pressure when Zoella and Alfie were a thing. If you remember, like obviously they're still a thing, very successful people, but they had a huge surge in interest and following in maybe 2012, 2013. And I remember one of the key things that was, I don't know, one of the key criticisms aimed at them was, why don't you talk about issues? Yeah. Why don't you promote charities? Why don't you talk about this awful thing that's happening here? And they claimed they wanted to create a positive space online. And I say this in inverted commas because I think that's stupid. And I don't think talking about things that aren't good means you make your space negative.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's super, super important for us to talk about things. But I think in the current climate, like, I get a lot of criticism online. Like, a lot. YouTube has a special department of people who are hired to support female LGBTQ plus and not white creators because we get the bulk of the abuse on the platform.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like public knowledge, but they, you know, I meet with them every month and we chat and we talk through the things I'm like facing and like the struggles I'm dealing with and like talk about that and how they can help potentially. And so like, as soon as you put opinion out there that is remotely controversial or maybe you don't have a full knowledge of, you know, like reflex reposting and stuff, you're opening yourself up to a world of trolling potentially. So I've always been, I think you need to do it at your own pace, the way that you can, and make it very clear you don't know very much. Yeah. And that seems to be like the approach I tend to take, or just the general encouraging people to vote. I'm not going to encourage you which way to vote. Yeah. I just really want you to participate in democracy. Yeah.
And do you think that's like the trolling is the main reason why like influencers and YouTubers kind of don't want to comment on politics? Or do you think they're kind of worried about it being like damaging to their brand in a sense? Like,
I think they all think they don't know enough.
Really?
Genuinely. Oh, I think we've all had, I know every YouTuber, like UK YouTube community, we have talked about these things over time as well, like over the past 5 or 6 years. And the majority of the people I've spoken to would say that they just don't know enough. They don't feel educated enough. I certainly don't feel educated enough at all to speak on with any kind of authority. And I, like, the extent of my knowledge is I listen to Today and Focus by The Guardian every morning. And that's like how I keep up with my news now, because I try and not get it on Twitter. So, and even then, like, having listened to reporters discussing like, different elements of Brexit, what, for like 3 months now, I still don't feel like I've got enough knowledge to ever speak about it on a public platform. So like, I think there's a lot of pressure to get it right.
I find that quite interesting because there's almost like, there's something to be said for actually that being the most relatable thing, particularly for people with young audiences, feeling like you don't know enough. Like, I literally work in politics, have done for a year, and I still absolutely freak out before I have to do any kind of media or get asked a question by like anyone. But often, like, some of the people we work with on campuses will say to us, actually, that's the most relatable, that is the most relatable thing.
Yeah. And I think that mix that with apathy, because it is so hard to dissect a lot of what's going on with stuff like Brexit, it creates this kind of, oh, well, they've screwed us over enough already.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can do. And my voice won't impact it, kind of mentality.
Yeah. No, I can definitely definitely understand that one. I think obviously we were just vaguely mentioned about having like young audiences, and there's always kind of a, ongoing challenge, I guess, for like content creators like yourself, but also campaigns like ours around trying to constantly engage more and different and more diverse and from different places, young people from all across the UK. And I was wondering if you, looking at like kind of the stuff that you've done in your work, had any thoughts about what political campaigns, either like ours or just general campaigns, could or should do differently to get into more younger audiences?
You know what? I think about this like a fair bit. And I think the, I think the number one thing you need in order to engage young people is a CTA. If you don't have something for them to do, go to the march, go vote, go sign up for this thing, you're not going to gain momentum because there's not a tangible thing that's achievable in, I don't know, in a day or in a week or 30 seconds that they can do to participate. It's the problem with politics in a way. Politics isn't just click this button or, I don't know, sign this petition, come to this march. There's so much more to it and it's long.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's fine.
But it's hard to get people on board with something unless they see it within their horizon, exactly what's actually going to happen.
Mm. That was really interesting about having like a call to action because, I mean, like you said, I mean, so many young people are kind of like, they want to something to be quite quick. I think that's more than understandable. Everything about our lives is like unbelievably fast, whether it is like social media or like the way it feels, like going through school and all. But particularly for us as a campaign, we're trying to win over one MP at a time or like get onto one new campus at a time. And I think sometimes, I mean, we've spoken about it before, trying to make it feel like it's constantly got momentum behind it.
Yeah, because I think as well, like young people have put loads of time and energy into politics in the past decade, and it hasn't gone their way every single time.
Yeah,
and nothing is building hope, really, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I think everyone's apathetic, and that's kind of why. So if you can be like, come to this anti-Trump rally or come to this thing, and that feels tangible and that feels like, oh, we're making a difference. We'll maybe make the news. We'll maybe create some buzz. Like the Free Periods campaign has done so, so well because you're like, yeah, I can make a tangible change. This isn't going to be life-changing for the whole world, but it will do something good, you know? And I think that's where it becomes really challenging with these huge, vast, and really difficult to understand changes in the law, which is, I guess, basically what we're going to go through. And like, how do you explain, I've forgotten the name of it again, but we're proroguing, do I mean that?
Proroguing parliament.
Yeah, like how do you explain that to people? Yeah, and like, exactly. How do you protest it? And how do you, like, I don't know, there's like,
I'm not sure.
What?
Yeah. What it is. Like, we were literally talking to some MPs who were like, no, we don't get it. And I was like, no,
yeah, how is this
really
allowed?
Need to get it.
So like it's a minefield, this particular issue. And engaging people is hard.
Yeah.
And as the first person on our podcast who doesn't work in politics, what are your perceptions of like the wider People's Vote campaign? And have you seen people around you change their minds maybe about having People's Vote? Or do you think people kind of feel the same?
So I've been to two or three of the People's Vote marches. Nice. My mum's like staunchly Remain, amazingly, which is great. And she brings along everyone she can. She roped in my boyfriend last time, my dad.
Cute.
We have a great time. We'll go together and then we go
family
to Pizza
trip.
Express. Yeah. But it's bonding, isn't it? It's really, and obviously I'd be there anyway, but you know, my mum going gives me the extra like, great, cool. I'll turn up early and make a sign or whatever I end up doing. But I see a lot of people either going from this is impossible to this might be possible. That's where I see the change of mindset. I don't see it people who want to remain or leave switching. I generally see within pretty much everyone I know, I guess, wants to remain. Whether it would be possible, whether we've lost it kind of already, like we just can't do anything. But a lot of that comes out of lack of education and lack of knowledge on the topic, because we just don't have that many available resources. Have you seen TLDR News on YouTube?
I haven't, no.
I think I've heard of it, but I'm not sure I've watched it.
It's great. It's a brand new UK news channel and they summarize everything into bite-sized chunks, like an educational resource, basically.
Oh, nice.
In infographics and everything. And they're so good. And I reckon that will have one of the biggest impacts in getting young people back involved in the Brexit discussion, because they're breaking it all down in these 5-minute videos or 10-minute videos.
Oh, I like that. That's really
cool. And it's like that kind of a thing, I think, is what is what gets people to be like, oh, a people's vote actually might be possible, or like, oh, this step might actually lead to this step, lead to this step. It feels, it's just so weird that we had a referendum and that was democracy and that was it. Like, it's just so weird when you actually think about it. But we've had this narrative fed to us for 2 years now that that was how it worked. We did democracy and now it's done.
Yeah. And it froze on that one
especially
day.
Especially like because the debate's changed so much. Like in 2016, Boris Johnson wasn't like, oh, you might not have drinking water. Like, no one was saying that.
Oh my
that.
God, yeah. It was like, let's fund the NHS, everyone, with our big buses.
Oh, the bus. That always makes me sad. So I guess kind of finally, what would your message to young people be who maybe want to get involved but aren't sure, you know, where to go, where to look? Have you got any, apart from obviously TLDR news, like other like campaigns or outlets you'd give a shout out to?
I would always say that I think there's a Brexit podcast. I've not listened to it personally, but easy ways that you can digest news that are, it's really hard, isn't it? Because like, as much as I want to be like, go read The Guardian or go pick up The Eye, it's just not always practical or something people do. I use a great tool called Instapaper, which is where I can save articles to read later offline. So I do it on the tube. I'll read up on my articles and like, that's really good. Yeah. So Instapaper's great. I listen to Stay in Focus every day to try and keep up with, they kind of look at the context around a particular news story each day. And a lot of that's around Brexit.
Yeah.
And I find that really helpful. And then like, I just think the best thing you can do is educate yourself because you'll start caring more and you'll reignite your interest in the situation. Yeah. But beyond that, I have absolutely no idea.
I think a lot of people, I definitely find this, you find it so difficult to not let yourself be swayed either by the people that you like really trust, family, friends, school friends, whatever. And like, you know that actually they have, you know, if my friends talk to me, they know my opinion on Brexit, but a lot of them, I think it'd be fair to say, would still take my breakdown of Brexit as like face value, like, oh, it's probably right, even though they know I've got like a massive bias.
Yeah.
But like, I think it's actually really hard for people to not do that and to not do the same with like Twitter and stuff as well.
Definitely. Yeah. It's the whole environment in which all of this is being discussed online is really toxic. And then on top of that, like, I think it's really hard to be a political influencer and be likable because, like a lot of the people, the influencers I met doing Bite the Ballot, you have to be really opinionated and you have to put yourself across basically like a politician to be, you just come across like a politician and we don't really like politicians on the whole, or we find people inauthentic and cheesy and unpleasant. And so a lot of the people who are dedicating a lot of their time online to talking about this stuff are actually, I think, maybe pushing people away or bringing more extreme opinions or people with more extreme beliefs towards them. Because those, like, I get tweeted at by like accounts with like communist, Marxist like imagery in them. And then also like far right stuff way more often than I would ever get messaged by someone who's like, I don't know, or even the proper like pro-Brexiteer people with the English flag. I'll get them way more than I'll ever get someone who's like, I'm a conservative or like, I'm a liberal. Like, you just don't really get that, unfortunately. Yeah. And so those are the people who latch on to like the like Tom Harwoods of the world. And like, I don't know. Yeah, it's just a weird, weird world and not a good environment to be having like a really complex, nuanced discussion about policy.
Exactly. Yeah. Do you have a message for MPs perhaps? Because they always say to us, like, I mean, daily they'll say to us, you know, help us chat to young people, get us onto campuses, help us do this. And I'm like, more than happy to take you out of Westminster into campuses, but you can't, like, you have to actually think about your audience. You're not suddenly talking to the other 650 MPs. You're not talking to Sky News, then BBC. Like, you are chatting to people who are, you know, 14 all the way up to 30, international students. And I think a lot of them really struggle with like...
Really?
Yeah, genuinely.
But everyone's been young. That's like, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't really get it. I like that.
We've all been here. Like, everyone remembers what uni was like for them, don't they? Like, everyone's got anecdotes. Like, my parents have all these anecdotes about like, my dad went to play squash every day because he couldn't afford the hot water in the house for the showers and all that stuff. Like, you get all of that weird, like, they really remember it well. So I'm really surprised that they feel there's a disconnect with how they would communicate with people who are students.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's just something that I've definitely noticed recently. And they'll say to us kind of, you know, they don't ask for help writing their messages, but they'll kind of, there's almost like a nervousness sometimes, yeah, perhaps, in terms of they'll be like, oh, okay, so I'm going to talk to students about Brexit. And we know what the overwhelming majority of young people or students think and how they feel about both a people's vote, about Brexit, and about all of it. But you can see it like behind their eyes. They look more nervous, yeah, sometimes doing that than if I see them doing media interviews outside, really, Parliament. Yeah, I find it genuinely,
I think,
quite,
it's kind of like how I feel when I see like a group of like youths on bikes. It's very, like, I get very scared.
Can you tell you're going with this?
You know,
I can,
you
tell,
know,
you moved,
I mean,
here,
like,
2 months
ago. You know,
ago,
when you have like loads of 12-year-olds and they're on bikes, I just find it really scary. I don't know why.
But then it's like, it's, I always terrifying, think, like, it's about education and like educating yourself on what the students care about, and the students getting educated by you,
mm,
on what's going on. And then you can, because, yeah, you're, in a way, you're preaching to the choir when you go into a university, because, as we said, they're pretty much all, or like, not obviously pretty much all, but like the vast majority of young people sway towards Remain.
Yeah.
And they do care quite a lot, but they don't really get what's going on. They feel disconnected. They feel like no one cares about it. No one cares about them and their role in everything, because,
yeah,
people,
definitely,
keep voting against what they've been, yeah, voting for.
Mm.
So I think you're not trying to persuade them. You're trying to teach them in a way.
Yeah.
Or trying to get people.
Yeah.
Yeah, the CTA thing, like trying to actually get people involved, because people don't need persuading. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know why it just kind of popped into my head this morning. I think I saw an MP doing a media interview outside. I won't say who, obviously. Yeah. And in my head, I was like, I've been to a campus with you and you looked terrified. And yet here you just seem like, yeah, it's just BBC News. And I was like, I know which one I'd be more scared about. But
some are better than others, though.
Like, yeah,
some,
oh, MPs, definitely,
are,
yeah,
better.
I don't know about that. Okay, Abby.
Ed Miliband is, out of all of the guys who ran in 2015, Ed Miliband was by far the best, most charismatic and friendliest that I met.
Yes, so, see? I don't think we need to persuade Abby on that one.
I love him. I'm just saying, the wrong man lost.
I agree. Right. Okay, a shout out to Ed as well on this week's podcast. Maybe he'll come on the podcast, you never know.
Oh my God, if I ever get to, oh, I listen to his podcast as well.
Oh,
such a spice. Anyway, right.
Spice.
He's just really good at, I just think he's great. And if there's anyone in politics, I'd like to be mates with him. Okay, let me stop this now, because it's actually a political thing and I forgot.
This is how I started my career.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on our podcast, Lucy. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much for everyone who's listened this far, and thank you so much for having me, guys.
You're welcome. Genuinely, I think we've completely lost Richard. Head in hands over here.
And join Amanda and Jason again next week for the immediate reaction from the Tory leadership contest. And it's fair to say the guests we're planning on having will be very well timed to comment.
Definitely going to be an interesting one. And if I may go as far as to say, it's definitely not one to miss.
Yes. And we hope everyone enjoys the last week of not having to say Boris Johnson is our Prime Minister.
On that inspiring note, thank you for listening and goodbye.